Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Fatima.
Hi.
Girl, I was breath.
Girl, I was running. Oh, they're not playing a little music today.
It should be.
I heard it start.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's see what's going on. It shows like it's playing it too. It's weird. That's that bird.
Are we? Oh, shit. Okay. Are we doing 90 minutes or 60 minutes today?
It's on 90. This is quite interesting.
Are we on?
Yeah. That's so interesting. Anything is, what is it, Murphy's Law, anything that can happen will happen.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Are we on?
Hello, everybody. And welcome back to Gumbo Talk. It looks like we had a little technical problems at the start of the show, but hopefully we won't have any more tech issues throughout the show. But I am Dr. Guy, and I'm glad you guys have tuned in this Sunday. As always, I'm so delighted to have my co-host. Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Hey.
So are you guys ready to get into our topic today?
I'm ready.
I am thoroughly ready.
Okay. So last
I'm
week
ready for
we,
Steve to say a lot of stuff I don't agree with.
Most likely, I'm on board with you, Fatima. That is probably going to be true. but last week, we talked about male toxicity. Does it or does it not exist? And we had a really interesting conversation. I was still getting text messages after the show, you guys, about toxicity. And no, it don't exist. Yes, it does exist. So I do think that that was an interesting conversation that we had. I even had some people say, Steve, I am really upset, these were women, that I am agreeing with Steve in the belief that masculine toxicity does not exist. So I just wanted to make sure I put that out there this week that you had some women that were actually on Team Steve's side, which is often not the case. But we'll see if they're still Team Steve this week. Because we're going to talk about the misunderstanding of the male role and how has it evolved. So we seem to talk a lot about women issues and, you know, what's going on with women, and sometimes we seem to blame women for a lot of things. And so we're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about men because we want to highlight men. And before you guys, we get out of this month, I do want to say happy Black History Month, you guys. It's February 23rd in the month of Slomba. So I just realized that. So with that being said, the idea is that we kind of want to explore this whole idea behind the male role. And is it the same? Is it evolved? How do we know it's evolved? What type of things are we seeing in society that are different as it relates to education, careers, families, relationships, all of those things? And so I'm going to let you guys go ahead and chime in. And Steve, since you are our only male on the show, I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts about this idea that the male role has evolved? As we ask this question, you're a man, what are your thoughts?
Definitely. You know, when we had a discussion about the topic, I definitely was excited to touch on this because although it is centered on the male this week, it still has a subliminal focus on the female. So if we look at what has transpired for women and how women's roles have changed, it would only be natural that males' roles would have changed alongside women getting more rights and responsibilities. So as that has changed, then the partner that the woman is now looking for looks drastically different from the woman in the 60s who couldn't open a bank account with her husband without her husband's permission, or would be fired for getting pregnant, or may have been judged harshly for having unsoft skin. So, and also to go in line with the economy, you know, quoting Chris Rock, you know, daddy gets the big piece of chicken. Well, that was because daddy had to work. It was more of a market that was predicated on physical labor. Now, we still do have those jobs, but they're not as prevalent. We're more of a information-based. So this is a time in which women and men can actually do the same jobs because it's more of a mental thing in a lot of capacities. So as women have been able to ascend, you know, it has also caused men to have to adapt to the ascension of women. You know, we still have some disagreements about how we have gotten to this gender pay gap. I know we can kind of discuss that as well because we had some back and forth about why I still think that's prevalent, but it will, you know, be erased in time. But, you know, from what my understanding.
Wait, Steve, I just want to, before you brush over that, I just want to be clear that you're saying that if you do believe it's necessary that there is a gender pay gap. I just want to be clear in understanding that.
I don't think it's necessary. I understand how it's occurred, and it will kind of fade out in time. But, you know, there is some elements in place that can't be changed. And it's just something that's going to have to kind of dissolve in time.
Oh, okay. So before we bring Fatima on so she can kind of hear some of her thoughts about this, Steve, you're going to be excited about this because you have some help this afternoon. We didn't leave you by yourself. I didn't think he was going to be able to make it. But King Charles of King Charles Topic of the Week is actually joining us. So we're going to get a weigh-in between not just only you, Steve, and your male perspective, but we're going to hear from King Charles. How you doing, King Charles?
How y'all doing?
I'm so excited to be actually on a team today and not representing the whole species by myself.
Steve, I was listening last week, man, and Fatima lit in on you.
Yeah, it happens, you know. You have to be prepared for that. You know, it's called grace. You smile when you win and you smile when you lose.
That part.
King
Fatima, how you
coming
doing?
In already starting.
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. Fatima, when are you going to be on the show?
You know what, King Charles? I'm ready to be on your show in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. So anytime after that, I'm ready.
Good deal. Dr. Guy, thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. I really did want to have a different perspective other than Steve on this particular topic today. And so I'm glad that we have two men chiming in because I suspect that Fatima and I may have a different take on this evolution of the male role and what that looks like. So Steve has kind of chimed in with what his take is. King Charles, what are your thoughts about this idea that the male role has evolved? What do you think about that?
I'm keyed in to believe that the male role has changed. It has changed dramatically. And the reason why it has changed is because women in so many areas has had to step up. And the male role has changed. And even in society, society is so evolved. It's evolved. It's all right for, like Steve brought up, there's certain things that women are doing today and men are doing today that it was unheard of in the past. You know what I'm saying? So times has evolved in the different roles are has changed, not flipped necessarily, but has changed in a lot of different ways.
Okay. All right, so you do agree that the male has evolved over time, as the woman role has as well. Okay. Fatima, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, that there is a need for an evolution. I don't think that it's happening fast enough. I think, honestly, that there is a lot of pushback from men on evolving. There's absolutely been a lot of changes in terms of, yes, women are entered the workplace. Women are in power positions. Women are making high salaries, sometimes, you know, out earning their male counterparts. But let's be clear, that's the exception, not the rule, because the gender pay gap is a real thing. So I think that men are struggling to deal with what that looks like, because I think that those changes have empowered women in the way that traditionally women
weren't in a position to call certain shots or have a certain amount of autonomy over their lives and have certain expectations. And I think that men are struggling to deal with that because their default is to want to be the leader, want to be in charge. And I think that there is still a way to be a leader in the relationship, but it has to be one in which you can also view the woman as a partner, an earner. And I think men are struggling with that. So I don't really see an evolution. I see one that needs to take place and one that men are struggling with.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I definitely think that men have evolved, and I probably agree with Steve when he said that it's a result of women and their changing roles. And so one of the things that came to mind, and you both kind of mentioned, you touched on this, but what came to mind for me was education. And I know Steve and I have talked a lot about the fact that education is in the past, it has been a predominantly male concept, this idea behind obtaining a higher degree. But currently, when you look at classroom settings, women outnumber men in these classes, so it's like a 7-to-1 ratio. So I think that creates a major shift in kind of what we're seeing in the evolution of men just in the field of education. What do you guys think about that?
Can I jump in and say something? Because I've heard Steve say that about education being a male concept, and I take issue with that. Because my question is education a male concept, or has historically education only been offered to men? So if the people who are making the rules decide, well, we're only going to educate men and boys, I don't know that it's so much of a male concept as it has been a male privilege.
I would agree with that, Fatima, that it has been a male privilege, and because it's been a male privilege, it was equated to something that was masculine in nature. Not that women didn't have the desire to seek it, but for a very long time, they weren't able to. So I would definitely agree with that. But, Steve, that was probably a comment towards you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, this is something we always disagree about. I think that we lack the understanding of what I'm saying. It's a masculine concept. When we talk about, and this comes more from Eastern philosophy, the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, logic is a masculine art in that system. Not saying that women can't be logical, but the more that we go to logic is the more we get into what's considered masculine. And being creative is considered feminine in that system. So in that particular system, masculine is more on your educational, logical, and feminine is more on your creative. So for your people who are musicians, that's a feminine discipline. It's not that the artists are feminine because they are talented musically, but that is just the system of the Eastern, and that's how they look at things. So I understand any time that I assign masculine that Fatima gets offended. So I kind of expect that. That's not a problem.
I don't know that it's that I get offended because you assign masculine. I'm just honestly not into making a gender thing out of arbitrary stuff. I mean, we genderize play. Now we genderize learning and talent, like music and playing an instrument. I don't want to make it about
the
gender.
I'm just going across the system that was created thousands of years ago. If you got a problem with it, take it up with those people in Confucius. I didn't create it. I'm just speaking upon it.
So this question is for King Charles, you and Steve. I'm specifically asking this for you guys. What do you guys believe has been the shift and why men are choosing not to obtain a degree and we're seeing more women choosing that route? Like, have men decided that there's a better option? Are they just choosing entrepreneurship? What is it that now we're seeing such a huge gap in the differences of men in classroom settings?
I think you kind of answered that. I think, in my opinion, it's out there that, you know, education is great and it's supreme and everything like that. But, you know, for you to succeed in today's society, it's not a necessity anymore. It used to be a necessity, but it's necessarily not a necessity. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, creativity, logic, drive, ambition, and things like that. If you have those attributes, you can and have a mindset that I'm going to win. You know, you can win. Not necessarily with an education in the beginning, but it's always good to accumulate an education along the way for whatever fields you go. Because a lot of people go through school for a lot of years and never end up in the same field that they went to school for.
Sure.
But then again, education is more than what I thought it was when I was in college. You know, I had to question it because I had to ask my teacher. Okay, we were in college math or something like that, and he was talking about this imaginary number I, and he gave us homework, and it's like 80 questions, and it takes like 15 minutes to do one. I'm like, why are you giving us all these homework questions? He said, well, it's not necessarily the formula or the question or the homework in itself. He said, what I'm giving you right now is repetition. I'm strengthening your brain, your thought process, and, you know, and I got it, and I get it, and I'm aware of that. But I think, in my opinion, that's why that we don't see that many men now in education. One of the reasons is because education is not a necessity to be successful in today's society.
Okay. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I definitely would like to echo what King Charles said, as well as when you look at how the family is structured, primarily if there's a need, then the male child is pushed to provide and fill that void probably a little earlier in some instances than the female child. And women, because of your lack of access to education, it's the path that you all have chosen, whereas, you know, like King Charles said, you know, there can be, you know, I can tell you three electricians that I'm not smarter than them. And I can give you an example of, and I know you can laugh at me when I say this, but they probably, some guy working on the HVAC is running some of your sorority sisters through hoops because she can't figure him out because he's smarter than she is. And she got 4 degrees. So, you know, I think education has been a barometer that women have used and a tool to ascend in society. And part of the problems I think sometimes in our relationships is women try to judge men along some of the same tools and systems that they use to judge themselves, and it's not really as applicable as it used to be. You know, they could be a guy who's got a plumbing company who makes $200 or $250, who, you know, may not have a suit, you know, may not use all the proper words, and he may have a girlfriend who's, you know, highly polished but makes a fifth of what he makes. But in her mind, you know, they may not be, you know, equally yoked, or he's not the man for him, but he's clearly put himself in a position, you know, economically ahead of her, just not, you know, in the educational space. So, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, we talk about and we look at when we get into relationships, and just the male role of either providing or even leadership. And I think that's something Fatima kind of touched on, is there's a idea that the man can be the leader when it's convenient for the woman. Like, I can be the quarterback when you want me to throw you the ball, but I can't be the quarterback when you don't want me to throw you the ball. So I think there's some confusion on what leadership really is now and how that works, now that women have become a little bit more empowered than in the past. And even like when we talk about the pay gap, you know, some of that is related to just your corporate structure. And I think a lot of times, you know, what has happened, and King Charles, you can, you know, give me your opinion on this. Now women's job is their man. Like, they put all the effort into their job, and their man is secondary because their job is what they acquiesce to. They don't acquiesce to their man. They acquiesce to their jobs now.
Hmm. King Charles, that was posed to you because I would definitely love to respond to that, but he asked you.
And I'm definitely, you know, in conversation we cannot take in the thought process that everything that I comment or he comments or even Fatima or Dr. Guy comment is absolute. But I have to totally agree with Steve on that. You know what I'm saying? Because I've met so many women and they have a hard time holding on to the relationship because their career and jobs are more important than a love relationship with their mate, the potential mate that could be actually, you know what I'm saying, husband material and the rest of your life material. And it's not a blame game or neither a gender game, because humanly you can do that. You can get so engulfed and not have any balance in your life to where one area, even if you get too much into your man, into your mate or whatever the case may be, and you lag in your career. You're wondering why you're staying complacent in your career. You're not moving forward, you know. It's probably the simple fact is because you spending too much time engulfed into the relationship, the person that you're involved with. So I get it to an extent, but I wouldn't blame it on a gender situation.
I'm so glad you said that, King Charles, that that isn't a gender thing, because I don't know how many women have experienced dating a man or being in a relationship or married to a man who was always working late, couldn't really talk, didn't have time because he's working, he's trying to get stuff together with his career. So that isn't unique to women. So if women are making their jobs their man, men have been making their jobs their woman for a very long time. I don't think that has anything to do with gender. I think that it's a human thing that maybe sometimes some people don't have a good work-life balance.
Well, I would like to jump in on that real quick. I think if we go back to what we were talking about initially is the roles, and the role for the man was to provide, and there wasn't necessarily an idea of work-life balance. It was the lights were on or were they off. Did the kids have dirty clothes on or were they clean? Like, that's how everything was judged, was, you know, were you able to provide for your family? And if that took you working extra hours, you're getting an extra job, you were patted on the back as being a good man and provider. So I think that's something else that we talk about when we get into the evolution of these roles is what that looks like now. So now you need to be
able
to
provide. And that's exactly why I said men are not evolving.
And you need to be able to provide at a level when in the 80s you could run a household on one salary, where that is not the case anymore. So it's not that they haven't evolved. It is society has progressed. So you need a different set of skills that sometimes it takes longer to develop.
For you to say, Steve, that women are making their jobs their man, that sounds like a lack of evolution to me, because if that were an evolved statement, it wouldn't even have been a statement that you made, because you would understand that, to your point that you just said, men used to be the sole providers, but that isn't the case anymore. So because that's not the case, we need an evolved mindset from a man that he's not looking at it like, oh, she's all into her job, but maybe coming into this situation and saying, hey, I respect the fact and I honor the place in you that's committed to work and excellence. How can we come together and be powerful together and be excellent in our careers together? So that shouldn't be a negative.
Well, it is a negative because I wanted that. I date one of my homeboys who's working hard too.
Hold that thought. Because we do have a caller, and I do want to go to the phone lines. But I just want to remind you guys, if you are just tuning in, our topic today is the misunderstanding of the male role and how has it evolved. So So I'm going to go to the phone line at 864. You are on the air.
Hello, how's everybody?
Hi, we're good.
Hello, hello.
That's great, that's great. This is Equani from calling from South Carolina.
Hi, did you say
all
Equani?
Right.
Equani, Equani, Equani.
Equani.
Yes,
now
yes, yes, yes
from ma'am. State of the Low Country, where you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Columbia, brother.
Oh, yeah, you're down the road. I'm up in Charlotte, man.
Oh, okay, yeah. We right down the road from each other. That's right.
All right.
But I was just listening to the dialogue between you two guys, the masculine side and also the feminine side. It's a great discussion. And I know it is a one that is a lot of times, you know, we're going to be proud of our gender. And a lot of times we don't want anybody to down talk us and our agenda, but a lot of times, even when it, you know, we question ourselves as men to ask, well, hey, are we evolving or actually devolving? Are we going backwards? Are we progressing or are we regressing? And, you know, just me as a responsible black man here in 2020, I have to be honest in just saying, hey, we have regressed. But it hadn't been just 100% totally our fault. We have to look at the infrastructure in which we are in. You know, now is Black History Month this month, in which we celebrate it for 28 days. And after then, we go back to doing, you know, everything else. But I think this should be a place where we are able to understand, spotlight, and also highlight the respective roles that black men and also black women have had to play in order to get to where we are in 2020. We aren't collectively at an appreciative point there as it relates to black folk, you understand, as it relates to black people in particular. So therefore, I think the lines are being blurred on what a man is supposed to be doing. And I know, you know, a lot of men may think that a man is having 5-6 women. A lot of men may think that, hey, they got a bag or they got, you know, a substantial amount of money. That's being a man. But none of those are the end all be all. And sometimes they can be a shortcoming. So as it relates to this discussion, toxic masculinity, I feel it being a place that we should, as men, be able to sit down and responsible, you know, in a responsible manner, have this conversation, at the family table. But instead, we're talking about LeBron, we're talking about Kobe, we're talking about, and I'm not letting the women off the hook, because this is a family thing, you know. Just as our women should be inspiring our men to be their greatest selves, you know. As well as our men have a role to be inspiring our women to be their greatest self, not waiting on a white man or a Mexican guy to come and tell them how great they are, but that should be our role and duty. So I think this is a great conversation, one that needs to be had. Today won't be the last day, I'm sure, that you guys or we are having this conversation and asking. And I think even with Dwayne Wade, throwing this, I'm going to say monkey wrench up into the equation in 2020, where you would have a black man looking to relinquish his role as what the creator created him at in. You know what I'm saying? So if you were created in the black skin, be proud of that black skin. Don't try to wash that away. Or even if you're sick and you're thinking that you're white, you know, look for some help to get, you know, the realistic approach on who you are. Even if you're a man, and if you were born a man, created in the image of a man, then I think it's very important for us, and especially communal roles, to help that child, these children, to establish their roles in life, because if not, they're going to be left questionable. Well, so rather than, you know, a man looking to protect a woman, you will have a man looking, trying to beat up a woman, or he's looking, watching as an aggressor is attacking a woman, rather than understanding what the role of responsibility should be, especially in these days and times. Because we see even the police aren't on, you know, aren't just ready to come and help us, man and woman. So that, you know, that definitely shows a responsible duty and a responsible role for us as men that, that we, you know, need to have.
You touched on so many points that I just think we talk about, not necessarily on the show, but definitely I have had these conversations with individuals in my sessions. And that was so true, that this idea behind us being collective, we just don't do that. And I think we have heard that in our conversations on the show. It seems as though it's us against them, feminine against masculine. In particular, in our culture as African Americans, we really don't share this collectivist idea behind building each other up, but more so we see each other as competition. So I totally agree with what you said. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else that you guys want to comment?
I love what you had to say.
I think when we talked also about the infrastructure and how we've arrived at some of these places, you know, we tend to forget that, you know, we are probably one of the few races that have been engineered for a lot of these behaviors. You know, if we go back to slavery, you know, a woman would be granted her freedom after a certain number of kids, just like a male would be rewarded freedom after siring a certain amount of kids. So there was always, you know, some type of, you know, disconnect or animosity regarding those situations because, you know, everybody was pitted against each other. You know, the male wanted his freedom and, you know, the woman wanted her freedom, but they didn't necessarily, you know, want to leave each other per se. You know, the women didn't want the men to leave and the men didn't want, you know, the women to leave. And, you know, so that is one of the things you kind of have to think about is how we were engineered, you know, from slavery.
And we never got a chance to get repaired, you know, even post all of that, the psychological trauma, the biological trauma, the physiological trauma, all these things we never went to see a counselor to get all these things out, to cry about it. You know, we're at a place where, and that comes up to talk about toxic masculinity. I think it's safe to say that all men, especially we're talking about us as black men, because when it comes down to men collectively, no man, period, in humanity has ever gone through what us as black men have gone through and still are going through. Again, no man in the face of humanity has ever gone through what we as black men have had to go through and endure. Seeing our women being torn from our house, being raped by a mob of white men. You know, if our woman was pregnant, they would cut the baby out while hanging her. Just to kind of, you know, put that psychological, no people have ever had to go through that. So the things that we're looking to restore definitely may be toxic, may be hazardous, but I think these conversations are ones that will kind of lead us out of that and allow us to probe, well, hey, what is good and what is bad?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. I do hope that you continue to listen in. We have a little bit more time to kind of dig a little bit deeper into this conversation. One of the things that I do want to bring up, you guys, is we asked the question about the traditional male. And so this is a question I think that's going to lead us into several arenas. But one of our listeners, Dr. Raheem, thanks for listening. He made a comment back on when we were talking about the education piece, being, Steve, when you said that it was a masculine concept, or when we ask the question about why is it that we see more women in classrooms, he says it really depends on the major. For example, education and social sciences is a predominantly woman-driven field, and other areas like STEM is predominantly male. And so he's right that just the difference in the fields may determine if we're going to see more men in those classroom settings or not. As we transition over to this idea behind the traditional male, I really want to get into
Dr. Guy, can I jump in real quickly before you finish that? That's not true. It's not about the field. The reason that we see more men in STEM fields is because there is a push and more men and boys are encouraged to really get into those fields or push toward math and science, whereas we don't put that same push behind women. That is why now we see more organizations and more companies doing things to sort of foster and encourage girls to get into these fields. It's not that they don't have the aptitude or they can't do it or there's something inherently only male about it. It's because of the way that we socialize children, that we tell girls to be nurses before we say doctors.
But he didn't.
So it's that, it's that type of,
No, I was just saying that wasn't, I don't think he was saying this is the reason that, based on his statement, it wasn't that women are less qualified to be in STEM, but remember I posed the question about, so what is it that we're seeing, that why is it that we believe that there are less men in these classroom settings? His response was just, we do see a higher population of men in STEM. Not saying that women aren't qualified to be in STEM. He just said, this is where your men are going to be in those programs versus if we looked in the social sciences.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
and also, let's not forget, like what Fatima said, there are probably a lot more organizations that are supporting women in those capacities than there are organizations supporting men to get into those situations. You know, there's Black
Girls
Code.
We don't have to support men to get in those situations because it's inherently open for them. In primary school, boys are being primed and encouraged to go in those directions. It's not a coincidence that we see more men in those classes.
There are other organizations. If you look at the amount of organizations that are pushing women into education versus the amount of organizations that are pushing men into education, there are vastly more organizations pushing women.
Are you saying education in general, or are we talking about STEM fields? Because that's what I was talking about.
I'm talking about there are a multitude of organizations pushing women to education versus the amount of organizations that are pushing men. Yes, sir.
Let me pose a question to you on that right there. You think maybe it's a multiple amount of organizations pushing women through education to get into their corporations? Is it because they want to or have the inclination to pay them less?
No, the pay goes like this. And Dr. Guy and I, we've gone back and forth on this on a lot of occasions because I've been in the chair of a benefits compensation. So what happens is you have a number for a position, say it's $100,000 with benefits, whether that's your health care insurance and all of those things. So when I was doing it, there was a significant amount that it cost more for a woman to be insured from a health care insurance perspective. So what would happen is, in my situation, and that's all I can speak to, is when we had males, the number was the healthcare insurance plus whatever was allocated for that slot. For the women, it was the same thing, but because of the healthcare insurance taking more of the benefit, it didn't reflect in the salary, but to the corporation, it may have been the same number. It may not have just been trickled into the salary for the individual. That's one instance. The second instance also is when we get into the amount of time some of these people have been in their positions, you can't replicate that. Whether it's an attorney in D.C., whether it's an orthopedist who's been on the job 25 years, his salary is going to be significantly higher than someone who just came out. And those are some of the jobs that I'm saying after a while, they will get to a place of more equilibrium because you had a predominantly male population in a lot of those positions going back to the 60s. So as those people retire, then they will come more of an equilibrium in salary. But you still have to look at from the corporate perspective, are they going by the model that I was speaking of, or is it something else? So generally speaking, like I said, they allocate a certain amount for the job. So if we're taking the healthcare and it's not a large organization like Amazon and there's a significant difference, then your position is going to reflect that.
Okay.
So before, because I thought we were going to have a response back to that comment, Steve. But since we didn't, I'm actually going to go to the phone lines because we have a caller. I'm calling because I felt like there was something that was going to come up. Caller, you are on
I have
air.
Something to say, but I'm going to hold it.
Wait. Let me take that caller for 10 minutes. Right after the caller, jump right in. 618, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. This is Hadi from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, Hadi.
Hey.
I'm
in the DMV. So I'm going to comment on the education piece of the difference between why you're seeing men less likely to be in the social science, because I'm a part of that world, and I am a person who hires social workers on a regular basis. You're really not seeing it because of the pay gap and because of the pay. You simply have to understand that most men that are looking to be providers know that going into education, social services, social work, early childhood education is not getting paid a decent amount of money to survive. Most of the teachers that I employ have to get state assistance most of the time. So we're looking at the fact that it's not an equal playing field. We do push our men to go into this field. That is something that is more evolutionarily happening now than it was beforehand. We really want males to be a part of the classroom, to be in social services, because we see the benefit of men being a part of the educational system when it comes to our children, being the fact that we live in a day and age where there's an absentee of fathers. We're looking at single-parent households where we're looking at, especially for African-Americans, 76% of our children do not have a male in the home. So the next male role model or someone who can show that child, whether it be female or male, confidence, strength, endurance, would be a classroom teacher and could be a male. But because we're not paying that, and that is a society thing. That's not so much just a black thing or a white thing. It's really the structure that we live in today's society, that we just don't pay those type of people, that we don't pay teachers, social workers, the type of money to survive. So that is one of the reasons why you see the difference in men going into STEM or engineer and becoming engineers, because you can make a decent amount of money and live and survive. Going into early education or classroom teacher and coming out of college making $28,000, and you got a student loan that's $100,000, is not going to help you pay the bill.
And also, I want to add, I've never, and this is just my experience, been around a group of my female friends who I can't wait to find me a teacher today. It's always been doctor, lawyer, accountant, engineer. So maybe there is some prestige associated with that as well. Like, you know, I've never really ran across that, and I may be wrong. I'm in the circles that I'm in with the women that I'm talking to, you know, they are looking for men who are able to provide. And, you know, those things do carry a little asterisk when, you know, you're Tommy, the accountant, or Billy, the engineer, versus, you know, Chad, who's the high school teacher who may not have enough money to, you know, get over to your house twice a week.
Well, Hadi, I agree with you that the pay just isn't enough for anyone who's in social science field, whether you are a male or female. So that definitely might be one of the reasons why men are choosing other professional tracks like STEM, engineering, and those particular fields. So that's a possibility. Steve, I just want to let you know that one of our listeners said your last comment that I said I was going to move on and grab Hadi's call, which I so appreciate. The caller said, or our listener said, that you are trying to justify discrimination when you talk about the difference and why they hire women.
No,
versus men. I'm just telling you what the listener said.
I'm going on the record saying justifying discrimination. What I'm doing is giving you a view into a place that you may not have had a view into.
To me, it sounded like discrimination as well, but that's just my opinion.
I mean, if it runs through the HR department, then I guess it couldn't have been discrimination, could it?
Well, I guess it could have still been discrimination.
Some comments I would like to make. The piece on, like, where we see more men and more women in the social sciences, I would also like to add that I've always found it very interesting that, like, if we just look at mental health professionals, even though, like, there are more women, if you look at leadership, it's mostly men. So I've always found that very interesting. But the other thing is, I think she's absolutely right in terms of, like, the pay being more appealing. But I think that even at a more basic level than that, before we get to thinking about, like, oh, how much does one make versus how much does another make, I think that we are programmed to see certain professions as this is something more for women. So, like, the thing that I said about, like a nurse, if you hear nurse, most people automatically assume it's a woman. That's not something we necessarily, like, encourage men to go to nursing school. I think people, when they think of teachers, they a lot of times will generally think of women. So I think that the way the education system might be set up, that it is sort of filtering children based on gender to push them in certain directions, which then leads more boys into ending up going into STEM fields. So I think that it there's this, like, underlying thing even underneath the pay part that's happening.
Well, I thought you disagree, but we'll get to that.
Of course you disagree, because you can't help but disagree, because you are allergic to logic.
Not at all. What my knowledge of what was available for black women primarily, you know, was teaching and nursing. Like, that, those were the fields that were open for women as we made this transition from being able to have your own credit. Women were encouraged.
I understand that, Steve, but we're really far removed from that. We can't be stuck
from those influences. When we still talk about people who are getting raised by their grandparents, who are getting those influences. So it's not that we're that far removed, you know.
But,
like,
you're proving my point.
Like,
you're proving my point.
No,
is that
I'm not
we
proving
that's
your point.
My point.
What I'm saying
is that we are encouraging
people, there are plenty of people who will still get those influences in their education and their logic of what the world is from older people who remember the world being you had a good time being a nurse or a teacher. There's so many jobs that are created every day that my mother doesn't even know about. You know, if I told her about, you know, being a social media manager, she has no concept of that. You know, so when my mother is still in the educational system at 60 plus talking to kids, she's going to be like, yeah, you could be a teacher, you could be a nurse, because she's ignorant to the fact of social media managers.
I'm sorry. I don't understand how you don't see that you're sort of saying what I'm saying, that you are proving my point that boys and girls are being encouraged to go into specific fields based on these ideological beliefs that certain things are more for men and more for women. So, yeah, somebody like your mother who's older, who comes from the old guard, if she's still working in education, she might be doing that because she doesn't know that there are other fields or careers or that actually women don't have to just be teachers and nurses anymore.
Correct. That's all I'm saying. I guess what I was getting was there's this grand conspiracy. I'm just saying It's easily explained.
See, you want to believe that I'm saying it's a grand conspiracy. What I was saying was, I don't think that it's just about pay. That it's not just about pay. I say that I think that there's something basic happening at the school age level, where boys and girls are being steered into specific fields or specific directions, so that even before it gets to the point where they can cognitively say, oh, well, I want to be an engineer because they make a good salary, they've already been nurtured. Boys have already been nurtured in a way where they've been told and encouraged to excel in certain subjects that would naturally lead them to going into those directions. And girls have been nurtured in a way where they would naturally go into a different direction. So my thing is, instead of us making any of this about gender, trying to find out what they naturally have an inclination for, and encouraging them all to explore all of the possibilities.
You know what? You know what? Let me chime in there right quick. Fatima, you made a good point, and I like that, because education is lined up just with the example Steve gave. Steve used his mom, you know, his mom from the old school, you know what I'm saying? So that's all that she can give you, you know. And our education system is the same. It gears young girls in certain careers or a mindset, you know what I'm saying, as far as the textbooks are still in there. You know what I'm saying? Because the textbooks are printed in 1960, 1970, or whatever the case may be. So that's all that they can get from that starting in education, you know what I'm saying, geared towards nursing or whatever, even a homemaker, you know, and it's geared towards that. But here is something else that I'll listen to both you and it's been a rarity that I've ever heard you guys agree on anything, and you guys were saying the same thing, and it was just so hard for you guys to just say, oh, we're saying the same thing. I agree with you.
Right.
Well, no, I said it. I said, Steve, you're proving my point.
Well, I just, what I heard was there's this grand force that's causing this. I think they may naturally rebel against it a little bit more and not necessarily trust the education and want to do it on their own more so, whereas a lot of the girls may fall more along the structure of the education.
Hello?
Hello? I guess it's just us.
Oh, this is so bizarre. King Charles?
Yeah. Can you? Yeah. You guys can hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay, so I didn't hear you for a second, Steve, and I didn't hear you at all, Fatima. So I guess you guys didn't hear what I was saying either.
No.
So it started off with some tech issues, and it looks like we are still having some tech issues. So what I was trying to ask you guys both about was tying back into this idea behind the traditional male. How has he evolved as it relates to dating and in relationships? Is he the same male? Is he the same creature? Or have we noticed that men are now doing things differently because of that evolution? Feel free to chime in right now. I think we can all hear each other.
I think there are some things that are different. And to be fair, I will say that when it comes to dating, there's probably some confusion for men on exactly what that looks like or what to do. I think that because things have evolved so much for women, there are a lot of women who do not desire a traditional man. And so I think it becomes confusing for some men when they're trying to do quote-unquote traditional role-type things in their dating situations, and the woman rejects or doesn't appreciate or doesn't want that. And that becomes confusing because then he might meet two other women who do want it. And then so I think sometimes it can be difficult for men navigating that and trying to figure out, like, you know, when to be traditional and when not. But honestly, I think really it just comes down to probably having a conversation, because I think no matter who you date, like, it's not always going to look the same. So you just have to figure out, like, exactly what are the expectations this person has, what are they looking for, and are those things that you can and or are willing to meet. And if that woman is looking for something more traditional and you are a man who's like, nah, I done got away from the traditional thing. I feel like women can pay for dates and, you know, and do this, and you can open the door for me sometimes and all that kind of stuff, like, then, you know, great. And he can communicate that. Or, you know, if he's somebody that wants something more traditional, then they can have that discussion. But I mean, I think honestly, a lot of the confusion could be resolved with some upfront early conversations about expectations.
Okay. One of our listeners said, the question was, do you expect the man to pay for dates? And if you still expect men to pay, have things really evolved? So that was kind of
again,
you just touched on, Fatima.
I think that's a person-to-person thing. Like, everyone, women are not a monolith. Okay, so men, please free yourselves from thinking that all women want the same things and you can, like, approach each of us the same way. You cannot, not sexually, not when it comes to just taking us out on a date, not when it comes to having conversations. A lot of us have nuances and different things that we like that turns us on that we do and don't want. If I'm talking for myself personally, I've said this on the show before, I think there are two things a woman should never touch on a date. That's the check and the door. So for me, that's where I live. But I know a lot of women who don't believe that, and that's not how they're living. So it comes back to those expectations and having that conversation.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I do agree that part of the equation also relates to how the man relates to society. What role has he chosen in that regard? And is he going to be someone who is within a working environment, or does he choose to employ himself? I think that's kind of where you start out, and then you kind of can kind of see what type of person you're dealing with from that perspective. And, you know, once you get that, like Fatima said, you can have those conversations. But, you know, part of the problem that we have is a lack of male leadership. And some of it comes to do with it not being developed, and some of it comes to do with women not following. So, you know, and I will say this, and you can crucify me, I don't care. You know, half the time women don't know what they want, no way. You know, they say they know what they want, they don't know. You know.
Did you say women don't know what they want?
Nah, they don't know what they want. Because they'd be like, oh, well, I never saw myself with a guy like Chad till I gave him a chance. But lo and behold, I never thought I'd marry somebody that was 4'11", but I love him to death. So, you know, Chad, a 4'11 guy wasn't on my list, but, you know, it just ended up working out. So, I mean, going to whatever situation, a lot of it has to do with who you are as a man, your demeanor, your leadership. You know, sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not. But, you know, where I come from, you know, and where I live at is the man leads. And you do that in a multitude of ways, you know, whether it's the financial piece, the protection, you know, and because a lot of women struggle with some of these things because they haven't been present for that to take place. you get into a lot of power struggles, and those just are the people for you. So, but ultimately, you know, I think when we talk about part of the problem is the amount of single women raising little boys who may be male but not men. But, you know, that's another show.
Well, how is it that you mentioned something that men are supposed to lead, which is really an interesting statement if you're taking it from a biblical perspective. But the expectation of a man leading, what does that look like? Do we believe that that has changed over time, especially in households where, let's say, the breadwinner or the one who got the bag is the woman?
Depends on the woman or the man. I know situations where the woman's the breadwinner, but she better not go do something and not tell him. You know, like, I think part of the problem is with the economic empowerment, it has led to a situation where, because women were not able to earn previously, they look at the financial aspect as their leadership. Oh, this is my money. Or I'm doing this. Whereas, you know, in your biblical model, that's not necessarily how it works. And in some places, you know, that's irrelevant. But I think when we go back to what I said about women's job being their man, that is what I'm talking about is, oh, as long as I got my financial independence, I don't have to listen to nobody. So, you know, then you get in some other elements in your relationship that need to be worked out.
I don't know if you answered my question, though.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm still pondering if that question was answered. But Seema, my question was, if the male considers himself the head of the household, what does that look like? Or does he still consider himself the head of the household if he's not the breadwinner? If that was the traditional model that men considered themselves to be the head of the household because at one point they were the only ones working or they made more, what do we see now? Are we saying traditionally we still see that, or we're seeing something that has evolved? Did we lose you for team one?
We might have.
We are losing everybody today. We lost Team Talk. Fatima?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, now I was coking down. Okay, so I was saying that absolutely there has been a change that has taken place. I think that, of course, here's the thing. If you are a leader, I can't take that away from you. Like, I can't make you not lead if you are a leader. So this whole thing about let somebody lead, like, leaders lead. That's what they do. So I think that things are different because, like you said, you know, maybe he might be being out-earned or stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that you can't still be the head of a household. I think where men are struggling is because traditionally who had the money is who had the power. And I think that the way that men, because men created this, so because the way that men created this system is that now if we have the woman who's the top earner, I think they're struggling with trying to figure out, okay, well then how am I going to be the leader now? How am I the head of household? And I think that's where you end up seeing that clash. I think that it's nuanced. I think that really individually the couple kind of has to work it out and figure out like what that is going to look like for them. But just if we're just talking about the financial piece, he absolutely can be the head of household. He can lead his family and all that stuff. And it doesn't have to do anything with how much money he's bringing to the table. If he's going out there and he's working hard every day and he's being a good partner and, you know, doing the things that they've agreed that, you know, is going to fall under his purview and what he's going to take care of in the household, then I think absolutely. But okay. I think that it's going to take us all changing how we view leadership, because mm-hmm. if leadership is purely going to be viewed as who brings the most money, then we're always going to have a problem with that. So we have to disabuse ourselves from this notion that, you know, that the money and the power is what puts you in charge and makes you the head of the household. Because things are changing, it might not always look like that. And so, and that doesn't mm-hmm. make him any less of a man because he's not making as much money as she's making.
Very true. Fatima, one of our listeners said that men are not leading. The women are allowing them to stay in their homes, and these men are not working. She believes that men, some men, have become lazy. So I guess that's
voicing the change in the
evolution.
Huh? Don't get me on the lazy man. Okay, I think this is the age of the arrogant lazy man who has been coddled by his mother and is just looking for some woman to take over and pick up where his mama left off. Absolutely, that is a thing. But, this show isn't about him, so I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that guy. And I also don't want to make a general blanket statement and say, like, the men in general aren't leading. That's not true. It's a lot of men who get up and go to work and work hard every day. And they're trying to figure out, especially as black men, how to win and be successful in their jobs in a world that really is against them. They're trying to start their own businesses. They're trying to figure out, like, how to, you know, provide for their families. I don't want to just turn this into a thing of, like, you know, all of the men are just lazy and not working, because that's not true. But absolutely, that guy is out there. You know the one that drop her off to work in her car and then go home, go to her house and play video games.
And don't pick her up on time after she gets off.
And don't pick her up on time. Oh, yeah, we know that guy.
And we know why.
But ladies, please stop dating that guy. How about that?
Stop dating that guy. We may not want to talk about it, but we know why.
No, see, we don't know why she does that. We could make assumptions about why she does that all day long, but we don't know why she continues to date this guy. Because there are a lot of great guys out there that work and that take care of their families and take care of their kids, but we're just talking about the ones that don't. I don't want anybody to turn off the show and be like,
I'll tell you why.
Like, we know that there are some that are doing, you know, above and beyond to take care of their family.
Right, but black women have been guilted to buy into this struggle love narrative. And so we are told all the time, your expectations are too high. You want to date the guy in the top 1%. Oh, we need to come together and build something. And why you want a guy that got it all together? Maybe you could get with a dude. So black women have been guilted into buying into this struggle love narrative that we're going to date his potential. And at a certain age and at a certain point, like, it's just not hot. So I think part of the reason that she keeps dating him is because of that.
Oh, I'm sure Steve's going to say something quite different.
Steve,
that's not the reason why you're saying.
We all saw Baby Boy. We know why Yvette was getting dropped off in her car and Jody was riding around doing whatever he was doing. It's because he represents what he represents, and that's all I'm going to say.
Whatever that may be, Steve, we do understand.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Okay.
I think that would take us into a whole nother different topic from what we discussed.
If you don't know, then you don't need to know.
But overall, it definitely seems to be that there is a correlation between the changing roles of women, which correlates to the changing roles in men. And not to say that there's a causal factor relationship, but definitely there seems to be a correlation between the two. So if women have evolved over time for the various reasons in which we've talked about on the show, then no doubt that we will begin to see the evolution of men in some ways. I still agree with our caller from South Carolina who said that in some ways men have regressed. And I definitely, I'm not saying that this is all men, but it would appear that there is definitely a large population of men that for whatever reason have regressed, have decided that we no longer want to take care of our responsibilities. Steve, you spoke to this a little bit earlier in the show when you said women are raising sons in these single-parent households. And so 70% of households are raised by single mothers. Well, I don't want to say that that's by choice, that these women want to be in these single-parent households raising these kids. And so there's a factor that's contributing to that. Some of it definitely has to do with how she treated him, no doubt. But then a larger portion of that has to be on the man. Like, it was his decision not to be there to take care of his son. And so I think that we have seen that as a regression, whereas years before, men may have stayed in these relationships, happy or unhappy, but they still stayed in the homes. And so that's definitely a piece of it that I would agree with, like I said, South Carolina caller when he said that in some ways we have regressed. And not just men, but I would probably say in some ways women may have regressed in some ways too. So with that being said, Fatima, what are your final thoughts that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
The final thoughts that I would like to leave our listeners with is that while things are evolving, I think that there is still a place for a traditional man. There is a place for the traditional man. However, I think that men also need to be able to adjust to this changing time and to these changes in the relationship with everything that's happened in terms of women's liberation. And so I think that it is absolutely okay to have a conversation with women and define your relationship for yourself, that we don't need to be stuck to any sort of specific roles, but we can define what roles we want to play in our relationships, and work to our strengths. So you might be a man who's better at cleaning and she might be better at changing the oil, and that's okay. And that doesn't make her more man and you more woman. That just makes you both smart because you figured out how to play to your strengths in your relationship.
All right. Well said, Fatima. Steve, what are your closing thoughts, comments for today?
Well, whereas I do appreciate the times that me and Fatima did agree today, in closing, I have to disagree with her vehemently. Hey, man, don't you let your girl go out there and change that oil so she can find somebody else because you in there baking cookies. You know, there's some things that still need to be your responsibility as a man. You know, if you can't change the oil, take the car and go get the oil changed. Don't let her sit out there and be under that car for some dude to be walking by and help her change the oil while you in there looking through the window baking cookies. You know, step your man game up. You know, and I know Fatima's going to fool you into these gender-fluid roles, but don't fall for it because you're going to be in there baking cookies and she's going to be done on the back of somebody's motorcycle talking about she'll be back later.
Everything you said was toxic.
You were male. Right, it was all toxic. I was going to say, I think you are male-shaming when it comes to gender roles.
Oh, no,
like,
I'm not.
The
I'm
very thing that we were
happen.
Talking about.
I'm giving you a crystal clear view into the future what's going to happen if you stand there baking them cookies while she outside changing the oil. Now, just because her daddy taught her how to do it don't mean she's supposed to be doing it. And just because, you know, you went to Le Cordon Bleu don't mean you can't go outside and learn how to change the oil. You know, there are going to be some things that if you keep your woman in her masculine, she's going to stay in her masculine. If you want her in her feminine, you need to do some things to put her in her feminine. And changing oil does not put a woman in the feminine.
I don't agree with any of that.
I'll agree with the second part, though, but not that it will keep her in her masculine, but that, yeah, there can be a switch, that it can take place,
I've dated more women than you, and I know what keeps a woman in the masculine, and changing oil is going to keep a woman in the masculine.
Let's be clear about this as we close up the show. You have completely dated more women than me, since I don't date women and have never dated women. Let's be absolutely positively sure about this statement, that I cannot speak in terms of that. But I am a woman, and as a woman, I can say, even if I could change the oil, right? And he did, but he did something else better.
You know.
Well, my daddy taught me how to change a tire real early, so I've been changing tires for a long time. Don't mean I like it, but I've been changing tires for a long time.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. You go outside and you be all resentful changing the
tire
while you baking cookies.
Well,
you've been finding another man. If you can't change the tire,
better than I
do.
But if he bakes cookies better than I do, let's say I just don't bake, but he does, I'm not going to knock him because he's the baker, and I'm not. I'm going to go ahead and do what I do best. If that's changing the tire, I'm going to change the tire, and I'm going to let him do what he does best. I think that goes back to what Fatima said, that gender roles are fluid. The individuals who are in healthy relationships are those who find what that is for them, and they move away from these societal gender-specific roles that says, because you're a woman, you should do this, and because you're a man, you should do this. I think that's what keeps us stuck in these unhealthy, toxic relationships. So the gender fluidity in roles is much healthier than saying you should be doing this because, you're a boy or a girl.
We're not going to be gender fluid, because when I drive by and I see you changing the tire, I'm assuming you ain't got no man.
Well, you can do them all day, whatever you want those on.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Guy, about your dad teaching you to change his hair, because that's something I wanted to mention earlier. My dad made sure I knew how to change his hair because he was like, I don't never want you to be stuck somewhere and having to depend on some man to come and save you. I know how to cut the grass with a lawnmower. I know how to use a weed eater. I can put things together better than most of the men I've ever dated.
I don't know how many men who've
been stuck on the side of the road that I've had to give a jump to, because not only did they not have cables, but they didn't even know where to attach them. So, I don't feel like my daddy made me a man. He just made me a competent woman who wasn't a damsel in distress. The funny thing about it is, anytime I've had a flat and I've tried to pull over and change it, some man will come along and say, oh, baby, move out the way. I got that. And it's great. I love it. The dream of my life is to marry a man who's going to always make sure my car is full of gas and it's washed. I think that a lot of men, I think they mistake, just because women are capable of doing a lot of things and we do a lot of things that you might deem as masculine, we do them because we have to, not necessarily because we want to all the time. We would love for you to take out the trash regularly and us not have to ask you to do it. So I think in some of these instances, men need to just get over themselves and not be so quick to be like, oh, she's in the masculine and she's this and she's that. And let's sit down and have a conversation and make a plan about what we want this to look like.
So how many of these guys that you gave them a jump, did you give them their phone number?
They didn't answer my phone number.
Because they knew better, because it wasn't men. But go ahead.
You know what? On that note, Steve, we're going to go ahead and end this week's show and remind everybody to stay tuned. Next week we're going to switch up our conversation a little bit. But you got something to say.
Yeah, their father was intimidated. They don't want to be dealing with nobody, know where the positive, negative, and got cable.
You know what? There you go again. I'm not, you don't get no more chances to talk at the end of the show. With that being said, next week, you guys, make sure you tune in. because we're going to talk about the power shift, as Steve would like to talk about, women. We're going to talk about the power shift that women have in the workplace and if it seems to be impacting them in their romantic relationships. So that's our topic for next week, you guys. Don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell everybody about Dr. Guy Gumbel's talk. As always, Fatima and Steve, thank you for being my co-host. And thank you for King Charles, who unfortunately got disconnected.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure having him on as a guest. So everyone, have a blessed week, and I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
Yeah, and they got community Bye-bye. Colleges. You can learn all of this stuff. You know, jumping
Bye-bye.
Cars, changing tires,
really,
fixing
Steve,
brakes.
I'm done with you.
You know.
Bye, Steve.
No, don't. If you can't do it,
up.
Pay for somebody
I'm hanging
to do
up.
It. Some stuff you got to do.
Bye,
let these women fool you.